Okay, everybody, hello and welcome into On the Air with Sonny Clark. This is our second show this week. We did a show yesterday as I was sick on the weekend and could not bring you the show, but I wanted to at least bring you those guests, so we did that yesterday, so we're like a day behind. This show that you're hearing today should have aired on yesterday, but we wanted to bring that to you. But today's episode that is being brought to you by Wesson General Contracting for all your general contracting needs, especially during this time of what's going on with all the weather problems and everything with the tornado, with what's happened as far as the hailstorms and things of that sort. Make sure you get them in contact with Wesson General Contractors. These guys are great, whether it's roofing, gutter, sidings, or anything that's going on in your home. With the things that have happened here just recently with the storms, make sure you come in contact with my friend Butch Wesson over at Wesson General Contractors at 214-200-5588. This is a man that is a local guy, which is number one. Number two, it's important to get a local guy because people know of him. All you got to do is find out a little bit about him, and there are plenty of people that will give you a good report and give you a good recommendation to Butch Wesson. I am one of those people that can give you that recommendation. Make sure you get there. He'll take care of all your needs. He's an insurance specialist. He knows the ins and outs of the insurance companies and what has to happen in order for them to do what they need to do. So make sure you come in contact with Butch Wesson of Wesson General Contracting. Of course, the fine sponsor of today's program here of On the Air with Sonny Clark. It's our second edition, our 2 days of covering the candidates here on the Air with Sonny Clark. This has been an important thing for me as we started off the show. I mean, this has been one of the things that I wanted to make people aware. I wanted people to know what was going on. And that was important to me as what we were starting here on this show, as far as that was concerned. We started off before we even really got going with the tornado coverage. As far as that was concerned, the show was set to go in April, and we got it going up and going in April. But now here we are. We are set. We are ready to rock and roll. And then the important thing that is coming, obviously, are the elections. And I've talked about it on yesterday's show, as well as some of the other shows. We need to get more people out to the actual polls, get them out to actual vote. I want to see a little bit more of that because it's important, I think, as far as what's going on. And as far as what's going on and where the direction of Rowlett is going, we have to have the right leadership. We have to have the right people. And for those that want to complain and everything, I'm one of those that believe that if you don't go out and vote, you shouldn't have a right to complain. That having been said, people will complain regardless if they vote or not. So I am giving people an avenue to hear from the candidates themselves, and that's what this show is all about, at least for the last 2 days. We're going to cover a lot of other stuff as soon as the election is over. Again, the election is on May 7th. Don't forget about that because it's one of the important days here. And I know how inconvenient that can be on a Saturday. Who wants to go out and mess with voting? I get it. I even to a point understand it. That having been said, I don't want you to forget it. I don't want you not to go out and vote. So take that time, whether it's early in the morning, sometime in the afternoon, or in the evening. I want you to take your time, roll to your polling stations. We have over 30,000 people that are registered to vote in Rowlett. I want to see at least 9,000. I've been saying it. I want to see more people vote than are in the Rowlett Facebook page. I want to see more than 9,000 people show up and vote. I've already done mine. I early voted. So I don't know about anybody else, but I want to see them getting out. And the only reason why, you know, I did my background. I learned a little bit about the candidates and what was going on. Take that time. And I know we live in a hustle and bustle world, but if you don't take that time to learn a little bit about the candidates, you're just going in there uneducated and just flipping and picking people by a name. Don't do that. Learn a little bit about those candidates, and that's what I'm doing here. I'm doing my best to bring that to you. Today's guest is going to be the folks that are running for the Rowlett City Council, place number 6. It's Martha Brown and Doug Phillips on today's program. So make sure that you hang around here after the commercials and everything. We're going to jump right into Martha Brown, and we're going to get an idea what she's all about, what she stands for, what her background is, and the same thing with Doug Phillips. We're going to have great conversations with these folks, and so I brought you, at least up until the time of this election, I brought you 6 guests that you could be educated on. On the website, you'll also notice on each side on the website, the last two shows that covered the other candidates. I want you to have time to do that. Click on those and listen to them. Okay, the candidates are after our first introduction time, so we jump right into it, and then we have a break in the middle, and then we get to the other one. So make sure that you jump in. Make sure you hear from our candidates. Make sure you are educated when you take that step in the voting booth and you know who is who and what is what. I find it very important, and I think that's something that you can do and get set. And it's something that is important, I think, enough to where you can take that time and learn a little about it. In our first show where we started covering, we brought in Dr. Bruce Hargrave, as well as Chris Kilgore. They are the ones that are running for the city council, place number 3. So make sure you listen to those guys and get their information on what I brought to you. Then yesterday, I brought you Rowlett City Council, place number 4. The guys, folks that were running for this, it is Debbie Bobbitt, as well as Arlen Brown and Cheryl. So get in there and listen to those so you can be educated when you go there and feel a little like you know a little bit about the candidates going into there. So also today we're going to cover a little bit what's going on with Rowlett High School. There's lots of stuff that are going on. The sports that are going on, track and field. I want to give you an update on some of the track and field that's going on, as well as some of the things that are going on in the boys baseball team, as well as the girls softball team. So that having been said, make sure you hang out for that after our coverage of the candidates. We'll give you an update with that. Also, I'll give you an update with some local football that's going on. Again, if you don't know about the Texas Revolution or the Mesquite Marshals, and you think football season's over, you're just not paying attention. So I'll bring you the updates of Champions Indoor Football and the 2 teams that play in that league. One of them could be headed to the championship game if they continue playing as well as they are. So we'll be bringing you that here. So I just want to give you a recap of what's going on. You're listening to On the Air with Sonny Clark. We will cover a lot of things here on this program. This time it just happens to be the candidates. We're going to cover those here today, here on the air. So we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to have a little time with one of the candidates for place number 6. It's going to be Martha Brown. We'll be right back. Wesson General Contracting Incorporated, we're your one-stop shop for all your general contracting needs. We are locally owned and with over 20 years of experience, so roofing, gutters, sidings, fence staining, painting, foundation problems, or roof damage are no problems at all. Give us a call at 214-200-5588. That's 214-200-5588. Wesson General Contractors, proud sponsor of the Rowlett Eagles radio broadcast. At 5-Star HVAC Contractors, we know how important it is to be comfortable in your own home. That's why we make it a priority to get your air conditioner or heater running quickly and efficiently. We know what it takes to keep you comfortable this summer season. So now's the time to get a full AC tune-up. Call us today for a $45 service call to have a qualified technician come to your home. Also, new complete systems installed with zero down and zero interest for 12 months. No minimum monthly payment. So give us a call at 5-Star HVAC Contractors at 214-457-8441. That's 214-457-8441. And tell them Sonny sent you. If you're like me, you want your hot coffee in the morning. But as it's getting closer to summer and getting hotter outside, you'll want something more refreshing and cold. With a surefire menu of cold drinks, Scooters is sure to satisfy. Whether it's iced coffees, blenders, smoothies, or even cold tea, check out Scooters Coffee located at Rowlett Road in the 66 with a convenient drive-thru so you're sure to get in and out real quick and on to your business. That's Scooters Coffee located in the Timberlake Shopping Center in Rowlett.
Spirit Outfitters offers in-house screen printing, embroidery, team uniforms, custom apparel, rhinestone designs, laser engraving, and spirit wear. Your one-stop sports shop where you can actually shop at 3538 Lakeview Parkway, Suite 101, Rowlett. Find them on Facebook, Spirit Outfitters, www.thespiritoutfitters.com. Info at thespiritoutfitters.com. Approved GISD vendor, proudly supporting GISD athletics. Spirit Outfitters.
This is Sonny Clark, radio voice of your Rowlett Eagles, letting you know about Palio's Italian Restaurant, located at Del Rock in the 66. Make sure you get the opportunity to taste the Palio's Gourmet Pizza on their Facebook. There are many opportunities to find out about getting a free pizza or just take a taste of some of the other Italian plates that they have. That's Palio's Pizza, located at 6702 Dal Rock Road, number 122, or give them a call at 214-703-9711.
And welcome back into On the Air with Sonny Clark. It's me, obviously, Sonny Clark, your host of the show. Now, folks, we've been talking to the candidates, and we talked to the couple of candidates last week, or on our last show, actually. It was Chris Kilgore, as well as Bruce Hargrave, joined us here to talk a little bit about their candidacy today. No different, as we are going to bring on my guest at this time. She is running for Rowlett City Council, place number 6. It's Martha Brown. How you doing, Martha?
I'm doing great. How are you, Sonny?
I'm doing wonderful. Now, Martha, the general question that you always ask someone is that when they start running for an elected position is, why are you taking the leap from what you're doing now to jump into the Rowlett City Council, place number 6? Because let's be honest, it's not a paying gig. It's a lot of work for no money. What is your motivation for jumping into the race for the city council?
My motivation is that I love Rowlett. I've lived in Rowlett for 24 years. My husband and I have been married for 28, so for most of our married lives, we've lived in Rowlett, had a business in Rowlett for 10 years, retired for a couple of years, and started kind of thinking of ways that I could give back to the community, which led me to the position that I have now. As executive director of Keep Rowlett Beautiful. I've done that since February of 2010. And so in that capacity, I've used the gifts and talents, experience that I have. My background is mainly business. And so use that to apply for some grants for the city of Rowlett, which I secured a $250,000 grant to beautify Lakeview Parkway. It's a landscaping grant from TxDOT, and that grant opened the door for us to tap into another fund that TxDOT has that's up to $3 million. So we're going to see a real transformation of Lakeview Parkway. Because of that, won't cost a penny to the citizens of Rowlett. And, you know, I just want to take that to the next step. I want to apply the gifts and experience that I have to do more for the city and in that capacity as a council member.
Well, if you read a little bit of background, which obviously I did before we came on here, I see that you won the Richard Huff Excellence in Community Service Award. You do a lot. I was going through, you are on a lot of boards and a lot of commissions as well. Elaborate a little bit more what you have done, because obviously I think the ground that you're kind of running on is experience for things that help Rowlett.
Well, yes, it is, and I can tell you, I mean, having lived in Rowlett for 24 years, you know, I do know some about it and have kept myself informed, but as I, you know, wanted to become more involved in giving back to the community, then I just started volunteering, which, you know, is, I guess, how Mayor Gautel selected me for the award that you referred to. But I do serve as an officer on the Chamber of Commerce Board, and I was a Chamber of Commerce member with my business. We maintained an A-plus Better Business rating the whole time that we were in business. And so, so you know, I kind of naturally gravitated to that. And then in preparation for doing something for the city, I'm in Leadership Class 25, which we just had our last class last week. And that gives you an overview of not only our city government, but also our county, our state. I went to Austin last year with the mayor, the city manager, economic development, and some of the council members and the Chamber of Commerce Board of Directors to visit our elected officials in Austin to talk to them about some of the things that concerned us locally. And then just 2 months ago, I went with Leadership Rowlett back down to Austin for some of the same purposes, just to see what affects Rowlett from a state level. Let me think, what else? Well, I served on the Community Investment Task Force, the Bond Task Force, which presented the, you know, $25 million in capital improvements recommendations for that to the council, which they put on the ballot and were passed overwhelmingly by the citizens. And the great thing that I loved about that, Sonny, is that we took an approach as a committee to only recommend a project that could be completed in a pretty short time frame, and also only taking on new debt as old debt was retired so that it would have a negative or just a zero effect on the taxes, so that we're able to get some of this stuff done incrementally without taking on a lot of debt for the citizens. So, you know, I was very pleased with the way that that turned out. Obviously, the tornado damage is going to slow some of those projects down, but others of them are underway. Kids Kingdom is a good example of that.
With that being said, you brought up the tornado really quick. Let's jump into that, because there's a lot of stuff that happened as far as the tornado was concerned, whether that be the mayor or anybody else. But you participated big in the recovery efforts and things of that sort. Let's talk a little bit about the impact of that tornado and what you hope to do on the city council to help in the relief fund or just the relief, you know, for the areas that were affected by the tornado.
Okay, super. Well, I think I was like everyone else. It was just so shocking when it happened. My house sustained a little bit of damage, but we were able to stay there while the repairs were being done. But once again, you know, my heart kind of turned to what can we do to help? And so quickly, I guess within the first 10 days, Keep Rowlett Beautiful organized a recycling event for the electronics. The city was pulling all that stuff out of the debris that they were collecting, but it did have to be separated. And so we put together a recycling event for that. The document shredding people that we use for our events donated their truck, and they came to shred documents. As you can imagine, people's whole lives were laying out on their lawns, their tax returns, their bills, their checks, bank statements. And so we did that. And then we also took household hazardous waste because we were concerned about it, you know, leaching into the water table, being out there exposed with all the rain that we had. So that was initially the first thing that we did. And then we, first part of January, we organized a huge cleanup to go out into the neighborhoods and collect debris. And we had an amazing turnout, volunteers from just everywhere, not just in our city. But we had about well over 300 volunteers that came in, donated $32,000 in volunteer time to cleaning up tornado debris. So we're so happy to do that. And then there is a city council-appointed long-term recovery committee, of which I am a member of, and we meet twice a month, sometimes more often, on that committee, and then we have subcommittees that meet in between. And so as far as the recovery from the tornado, it's a weekly endeavor for me. They told us when we agreed to serve on this committee that it would be a 2 to 3 year commitment. And so a lot of the short-term needs have been taken care of. Insurance is starting to help some of them, but believe me, there's tremendous need that's still out there. And I was shocked when they told me it was going to take that long, but as I have involved myself in the process, I can easily see that it will.
Got it. That's a huge thing that you've got to take on as being part of the, as far as being on city council, because a lot of things will be in front of you regarding that. And speaking of being in front of you, as far as that's concerned, you know, the new development over near the I-30 is a big story in this town, because it's expected to bring a lot to the city of Rowlett as far as Baywood is concerned and the lagoon and everything. What's your feeling on that? And the question I ask about that is that there's a lot of people, such as myself, who feel that Rowlett is becoming a town that kind of moved away from it being a sleepy little town. Now it's kind of becoming a thriving metropolis. Is that good for this town in reality, or is that something that will come back and maybe haunt us later on down the road? What do you think?
Well, I think that depends very much on the leadership that you have. You know, controlled growth is very important. The stewardship of how all of those things play out determines a lot as to whether that is a blessing or whether it's a curse. And I can tell you, I mean, I do believe that that it will be a blessing to our city. I do believe that controlled growth is the answer. The Bayside development is a very exciting mixed-use development, and it's going to have a little bit of everything, which is wonderful. I think that Donahue has been a wonderful partner with the city. It's 262 acres on the north and the south side of I-30. We're going to have luxury apartments. We're going to have a 500-room resort-type hotel. Of course, the lagoon is something that everyone's been talking about. And then also the big 280-foot-long water fountain that they're going to have that they're going to use as a projection screen. I can hardly wait to see that. I think it's going to be a wonderful development. I'm excited about the things that are happening in Rowlett. And because of the Rowlett 2020, because of the form-based codes, I think that we have a good template for growth in Rowlett. And it's not the sleepy little town that it was when when I moved in 24 years ago.
And yep.
It took me a little bit of time to warm up to that. But I think that, you know, I realized, like many people in Rowlett have, that when we got dark and when we got George Bush, it was a real game changer for our city.
Right.
And so it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity for us to be a wonderful place to live. You know, one of the things that I personally love about Rowlett is the lakeside living. And so I think we have the opportunity to have the best of both worlds. But that comes from men and women in our city government working together to make it and keep it a great place to live and to work and to play.
Absolutely, and the play is probably a lot of what people are looking at. They want something to do and something that is good for it. I think it's going to be interesting on how that works. Now, that also brings up another thing. You have another area to cover out there as far as public safety is concerned, and the people of Rowlett, I think, are very huge. One of the biggest issues, I think, is having enough public safety, having the right amount of public safety, whether that's first responder, police, or fire departments. What is going to happen as far as that's concerned, and what is the city council's job to maybe fund that or figure out how to fund it?
Well, in that $25 million bond package that the citizens of Rowlett voted for, there is a new training facility that is included in that, and the plans for a new fire station on kind of in the direction of Bayside. And my office is in the Fire Rescue Administration building, and so I can tell you I live and work with those people every day, and they are some of the most dedicated, wonderful people in our city. But I believe that Rowlett should have just the most well-trained and accredited, equipped police and fire departments in the state of Texas, because in emergency situations where minutes count, I want our first responders to be at the top of their game. And that means that they need to be well-equipped. That means they need to be well-trained. And I believe that the citizens of Rowlett understand that. I believe that they have provided a pathway to that. Now, does that get us there 100%? No. You know, there are other things to consider. We have to make sure that when we're hiring our first responders, that that the salaries and the benefits that we offer them are comparable to some of the cities that are around us, because the last thing we want is for these great people that we have to be drawn away from our city. And so that's something that we have to stay on top of. But public safety is just number one.
Exactly. It's got to be number one, because that's what helps people feel safe and happy at their homes, without question. We're talking to Martha Brown here. She is a candidate running for the 6th place in the city council. And I'm going to give you the floor for the last part of this before we're out of here. What do you want people to know about Martha Brown that we haven't already discussed that you want to put out there so they can consider you for their vote that happens on May 7th?
Well, Sonny, I want people to know that when I started thinking about running for council, I wanted to be prepared. I wanted to be up to speed because of all the boards and commissions that I've worked on, and also as with my position with Keep Rowlett Beautiful. I've had the opportunity to work with our city council, all the members on many occasions, with our mayor, with our city attorney, with our city manager, assistant city manager. I know all the department heads by name. They know me. And so I am prepared. I'm ready to hit the ground running. I don't know everything, but I am a worker, and I will do my best to learn, to be prepared, to make decisions, to consult with experts if needs be. When we look at the packets and we're trying to make decisions for the citizens of Rowlett, I am ready to go. And I think that does differentiate me somewhat from the candidates that are not incumbents.
Right.
Because I've spent the last 3.5 years being very involved on a day-to-day basis with the inner workings of our city. And I'm ready to serve.
It sounds like it. All you got to do is look at the background of where you come from. You're definitely ready to serve, and I think you're going to be all set. I wish you luck in the election that happens on May 7th, folks. This is why we're doing it here on the air. You're hearing from the candidates. Most people go, well, I don't know what the candidates stand for or what they're all about. That's what we're doing here today. Thank you, Martha Brown, for joining us here on the air with Sonny Clark.
Thank you so much, Sonny. I appreciate the opportunity. If anyone else wants more information about me, they can go to MarthaBrown.org. And look at that. They can contact me through that, and there's more information about my platform and background.
Definitely. Check that out. That's where I got some of our information. That's how I got her online. Thanks for joining us here. What we're going to do now, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk quite possibly to her opponent that she has up on May 7th. If we're able to get them online, that's what we're going to try to do. You're on the air with Sonny Clark. We'll be right back.
Wesson General Contracting Incorporated, we're your one-stop shop for all your general contracting needs. We are locally owned and with over 20 years of experience, so roofing, gutters, sidings, fence staining, painting, foundation problems, or roof damage are no problems at all. Give us a call at 214-200-5588. That's 214-200-5588. Wesson General Contractors, proud sponsor of the Rowlett Eagles radio broadcast. Unpleasant surprises can be annoying, but sometimes they can be devastating. If your retirement plan is vulnerable to unpleasant surprises, you do have a choice. There are strategies that can help ensure any surprise is a welcome one and reduce the threats to your retirement. Nest Egg Wealth Advisors specialize in helping protect your portfolio from unpleasant surprises. Visit nesteggadvice.com or give them a call at 972-412-6064 to request a guide to your nice, predictable retirement. In 1998, Scooter's Coffee was born. Co-founders Don and Linda Eccles began their amazing journey when they opened up their first drive-through coffee house in Bellevue, Nebraska. Their motto is, amazing people serving amazing drinks amazingly fast. Scooter's only roast from the top 10% specialty coffee beans in the world. And their specialty? The Caramelicious. If you're new to Scooter's, you can't go wrong with ordering this rich velvety caramel gem. So make sure you check out Scooter's Coffee, located at Rowlett Road in the 66 with a convenient drive-thru so you can get onto your business real quick. That's Scooter's Coffee, located in Rowlett. It always happens. 6 p.m. on a Saturday night and your heater or air conditioner goes out. What are you going to do? All the heating and air conditioning people are closed. How about 24-hour service available at 5-star HVAC contractors? You can be sure to be serviced amazingly fast. That's 5-star HVAC contractors serving Rowlett 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. 214-457-8441. Call the experts at 5-star HVAC contractors. Let Spirit Outfitters be your home for any of your specialty needs. Spirit Outfitters can do it all. Whether it's screen printing, custom apparel, spirit gifts, or embroidery, Spirit Outfitters has you covered. Need personalized apparel? We can do that. Want something just for you? We can do that also. Spirit Outfitters will let your imaginations run wild. Give them a call at 972-412-3440 or visit their showroom at 3538 Lakeview Parkway, Suite 101 in Rowlett. Or check them out on the web as well at thespiritoutfitters.com. This is Sonny Clark, radio voice of your Rowlett Eagles, letting you know about Paolio's Italian Restaurant, located at Dahl Rock in the 66 in Rowlett. Ever tried their Greek salad? Their Greek salad is proof that sometimes the best lunches don't need to be cooked at all. Make sure you check them out at Palio's Pizza and check them out on their Facebook, where you have opportunities to sign up and get a free pizza. That's Palio's Italian Restaurant, located at 6702 Dow Rock Road, number 122, or give them a call at 214-703-9711.
And welcome back into On Air with Sonny Clark, as we are here with our main sponsor of our show. I got online. I got Butch Wilson. How you doing, Butch?
I'm doing great, Sonny. How are you guys?
Doing wonderful. Hey, I wanted to start. This is a good opportunity to talk about it with all the things that are going on. But those that don't know, Butch Wesson, he is a general contractor. He can do just about anything that you can possibly do to your home in order to improve it, to help your home get better. But I wanted to talk with the reason. Obviously, the big news here in Rowlett was about the tornadoes, and there's been a lot of things that have been going on. And I know you've been trying to assist people and educate people about the situations that are going on with your house. And you recently mentioned to me, and I thought it was very interesting, and this would be good for the people that are listening, it is about having an inspector taking a look at your home before work is done and after it was done. Explain a little bit about that, because I think it's very important for people in Rowlett, especially with all the people coming in and giving quotes and everything else. Let them know what they need to know, especially when it comes to their insurance policies.
Well, first of all, Sonny, you know, I like to always tell everybody the first thing you want to do is get a reputable contractor, you know, in a local guy, someone that everybody knows. The second thing and most important is if you've been through a tornado like this and the high winds, you want to have a structural engineer, a licensed structural engineer, come look at your home, because this is the time that you have to have it looked at for all the hidden damage. You know, with the trained eye, you can't see it all, even if you know what you're doing. You have to actually get into the house, pull it apart in some cases, and take it down to studs to see if the house is straight, if it actually has been lifted or not lifted. You know, the roof, the joists, it can be broke. You've got to get up in the attic and look around, and you want somebody to fall back on that you can hold accountable.
And when you do that, and I think that's very important, because what it does, if I'm not mistaken, I think you explained it to me, it makes it more easier for an insurance policy, seeing that you're taking all the necessary steps in order to make sure that your home is done and done correctly, more so than just having that general person just taking a look at it. Is there more credibility to the insurance policy holders when you bring that kind of report coming from those kind of people?
Well, sure. Of course, it's just like myself, when I go out to a tornado home, you know, I have to have somebody tell me how I'm going to put it back together, because here's the deal. I've got to warranty your home and stand behind it. And before I can do that, I got to have a trained engineer look at it and tell me, yes, this is what you got to do. This is the proper way of doing it. Is the foundation cracked? Has it been moved? You know, there's things like that a lot of people never even look at, never even thought of it. You know, they just think, oh, the roof's been tore up, we're going to put a new roof on it, fix the broken glass window, and go on. Well, that's not necessarily true. All the hidden damages are there. It's got to be looked at. You know, and you have the opportunity, while you still have your insurance policy open, for everybody to look at it, get in it, find the damaged areas, work on it. You have the right to do that. You've got the right to have an engineer on your own. You've got a right to have an attorney. You have a right to have an architect. You have a right to have any general contractor to come out there.
And I think that's important, and probably the most important advice is you move on in this case, because some insurance companies are known to just write a check and get you to sign your rights away as far as the policy. So they'll write a check and be done with you. Let people know how they could avoid that as far as the insurance company in conjunction with a general contractor. Because I've heard already stories about people who've already signed away, and it's not going to be enough to take care of their home.
Well, you don't ever just completely sign it away until you're actually sending your final invoice and say, you're done with the home, I'm satisfied with it, I'm pleased with the contractor, I'm pleased with the work that's done. You know, your wind is closed. You know, it's never closed until you say it's closed. You know, you have a window of opportunity there to make sure it's all done right. You know, and that's what you want to make sure that you do. You know, and by saying that, you know, have a reputable general contractor come out look at it. Have an AC guy come look at your AC unit. You know, make sure it's done properly. You got to have a plumber look at things, an electrician. You know, a lot of people don't realize that, you know, if the electrical wires have gotten wet, they need to be replaced all the way from that point back to the breaker box. There's so many different things that go on in a house that's hidden that people don't notice and know about. It's not just come out, dry the house out, and clean it up, and we're done. And not have, you know, that's where you need to have, you know, the state of Texas really always said would have regulated contractors in there and have everybody licensed, but we don't have that yet. Hopefully someday we will. But until then, you got to know that the guy's a reputable guy. You know, you've got to know he's done work in the town. He's registered with the city, most importantly, you know, and ask friends and, you know, family members, people that use him, ask them for references. You know, if he comes out and asks you for the money right off the bat, you don't want to use him. You know, obviously he needs money to do the job, but he should be able to stand on his own. You know, check his vendors out. Make sure that he doesn't owe money to anybody, you know, that he's not paying his bills. You know, it's just like your credit. You want to make sure you got a good credit. Make sure he has good credit with his vendors, you know, and that way you know he's a good, reputable guy.
Now, you're talking general contracting, and general contracting is such a broad stroke, really, in reality, when you think about it, Butch. So, that being said, let's talk about some of the things that you do as far as maybe not just necessarily because of the tornado that has hit in this area, but what about what you do? What is there a specialty that you do, or
is more of a storm being
the big thing here?
Right, I'm more of a storm restoration general contractor. I go in after the storm and make sure everything's done right. I start from A and work all the way to Z, which a lot of people don't understand that. The first thing I do is hire, like I said, is I have to get you to sign a contract with me so that way I can talk to your insurance company, I can talk to your mortgage company, I can hire people on your behalf as a structural engineer, an HVAC guy, which is an air conditioning heating guy, an electrician to come out. I hire all these guys and have them come in. They work underneath me, and I'll supervise them and have them come and check every part of your house out. And that way that I got them, I've got a signed, sealed, delivered piece of paper saying your system is up and working properly. Then I have that I can go by to the insurance company, if it's not, and say, look, you need to cover this or this is not covered, you know, then you have to pay for it. But 98% of the time, everything's covered under your insurance policy. You know, in most cases, I just have to look at your policy and go through your declarations page and see what your coverage you have. Everybody has different coverage. And a lot of things are getting changed on a daily basis. When your policy renews, you get it in the mail. Most people don't open it up and read it. They open it up and file it in their filing cabinet or their filing system they have, and they don't actually read the policy, which they may go through there and drop things off as cosmetic declarations. They're no longer going to pay for cosmetic damage done to gutters and AC coverings and carport coverings and stuff like this, window screens. You want to make sure that coverage is still there. And, you know, they're notorious for dropping stuff like that, you know, over time.
Yeah, you got to be very careful. Now, let's talk a little bit about non-insurance and folks that don't have insurance or just need something done around the house. Your specialty, do you have a specialty that you work best with? Or we go back to that word general being that broad stroke of the paintbrush.
Really, it's more of a general. I do everything. I specialize in it all. You know, it's mostly specialized in insurance storm restoration, flood insurance policies. You know, when the house is flooded, the toilet backs up, a hot water heater breaks, or you have a washing machine break. Because when that happens, your house floods out, the sheetrock gets wet in it. It has to be dried out properly. If not, it has to be cut out, you know, and there's proper steps of that. So you don't have the mold and mildew growing back in your house. You know, that's a dirty word to people's mold and mildew, and it is, you know. But we want our families to live and breathe, you know, the right air. We don't want anyone getting sick.
And that's important. And I know water restoration was one of your things that we were talking about when we were getting together and doing that. And the importance of water and describe a little bit about water, because I heard the story, and maybe you can confirm it. If you got water in one area, you're bound to have water in the other because of the way that water moves.
Right. It just runs, you know, and no one knows where it runs to. You know, it runs until it stops, you know, and we can't see it a lot of times. It's behind sheetrock. It runs, and we don't know it's wet in that area until it's too late. You know, the mold started growing. The only proper way to get to it sometimes is ripping the walls out, pulling the showers up, shower pans up and out, bathtubs up and out, you know, and behind water heaters. You know, there's proper ways of installing water heaters now. You know, they did it one way. There's new code that's going in all the time, which, you know, there's a 2013 code. Now there's 2015 code that's out now that they're adopting. And there's so many different areas of that. It's why you have to have a general contractor that knows the ins and outs. And, you know, as I do, like I said, you know, I have independent adjusters. I have architects. I have engineers, you know, on staff, you know, that are a phone call away from me, as well as independent adjusters, public adjusters, and attorneys. You know, it just falls in those lines. You have to have these guys set that you can call immediately and not look for them. There's also biochemists, you know, engineers that come out and they look for the mold and the air quality. You have to have those guys. A lot of these guys that call themselves contractors don't have these guys lined up. And you have to have them lined up so you can call them at the drop of a hat, have them out in the 24-hour notice. And that's what we need. There's a lot of damage that's been done here in the city of Rowlett, in the city of Garland. You know, and it's unfortunate, you know. I grew up here and have many friends and family out here, and I want them all taken care of the right way. I wish I could take care of all of them myself, but you know, I'm only one man and can do so much. But there's so many other good guys out there. I know lots of them here in the town, and I would refer any of them to you. You know, and if you want to call me and ask me about somebody, you know, I'm open to it. Call me anytime. You know, and I can tell you my experience with them. A lot of times everybody says, check with the Better Business Bureau, check with Angie's List. Remember, folks, the Better Business Bureau, it's a great organization, but try to look them up and find out where their office is. There's not a physical office. You can't go to a physical office and say it says Better Business Bureau on it. You know, they're just an organization gathering information, but they charge a fee. You know, the best, you know, is always finding a referral from friends, family, someone you know that you can trust, you know, that you can actually find that they've worked, have been here for 20 years, 30 years, where they live, you know, and the word of mouth is the best advertisement always. You always want to get that guy that you know. There's several of them around, and a lot of them are good friends of mine. And you want a good plumber. You know, I didn't bring that up. As a good plumber are good, too. You want to have a good plumber. This town was built, the city of Rolla was built by a great plumber, you know.
Yeah, it sure sounds like experience is probably the most important, because you will get these notices on the door from people that are walking around. And right there, to me, and I'm just your normal average guy, if someone's just going around and putting it on the door, that might be someone that you might want to stay away from, or is that maybe not necessarily true?
Well, you know, it's not necessarily, I wouldn't say it's necessarily true, but they shouldn't be, you know. Like I said, the word of mouth is always the best advertisement. Always, you know, you always want to have referrals. But, you know, we call them gypsies that come in town. That, you know, I always look at it as if they got a 1-800 number on their sign or 1-800 number on their business card, first and foremost, they're not local. You know, that's, you know, some people say, well, that's not true. Have a local number, somebody that you know is in town, that you see their signs around town. You see there's people wearing their shirts or ball caps. You know, we go to a local Pee-wee football game or baseball game, see if they advertise, see their name on the signs there. Those people are there for a reason. They're advertising those little league teams for a reason, because they're part of the community, you know, and I'm a big believer in that. Give back, you know. I think everyone should do, you know, I think everybody does that.
Yeah, you were just recently at a city meeting trying to help people at the city meeting, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
Yes, sir. I was at the last one they had there at the church on Dow Rock, and I had a real good friend of mine that's an independent adjuster, and another guy that was a public adjuster there to help folks that have, you know, feel like they haven't been done right by their insurance company, just so they can, you know, help people out. And they're all there for free, you know, they give free information. Of course, you know, everybody's there to make a living too. You know, some of the guys are there to, you know, to advertise their businesses, but they're good folks. They're good Christian people, you know, and they're out to help as any way they can. They want to make sure that everybody's treated right and their claims are maximized so they get everything they deserve. You know, insurance companies are great companies, and they're out there and they're taking your money on a daily basis and, you know, get them to pay you back what they owe you. You know, when you buy an insurance policy, you buy a piece of paper. It's a promissory note, you know, to sort of take care of you. And, you know, and a lot of times they don't want to stand up to their promise, you know, and that's all we have is their word, and we take it and we buy it because we're forced into having to do it by lenders, you know, and mortgage companies that say you have to have insurance because we're going to loan you the money. And
you bet.
So when we do that, then we want to make sure they're there to do what they're supposed to do, and then they don't. Then that's where the ball falls, you know. Okay, well, how can I make them? You know, I want what I deserve.
Yep. And being in the insurance business for as long as I had before I got into broadcasting, and even while I was in broadcasting, that statement is so true. You got to make them do what they're supposed to do, because in reality, this is what people don't realize. The insurance policy is a policy, but the policy is actually a contract, and you got to make them live up to what they promise on their part. You promise to pay, they got promises that they got to keep on their side, and that's where experience comes in with Western General Contracting.
Exactly, Sonny. You know, as you said, you've got to make them live up to their promise and their promissory note, you know, and
yep.
It's a contract. And, you know, as I've always been told, the contracts are one thing. They're made to be broken, as you see in the pro football and pro baseball and the professional athletes out there. Those contracts are broken every day. You know, they're let go, and they don't want to play for this amount of money. They want to go back and play for more, and they're made to be broken. That's what a contract is. And you know, it shouldn't be right. Is, you know, the insurance companies, they sell them, we buy them, and we're forced into buying them in some cases and stand up to them and pay, you know. And there's some great insurance companies out there, don't get me wrong, by any means. You know, just make sure you get a good, reputable guy that can work with them. There's a lot of preferred vendors, general contractors, preferred vendors, roofers, plumbers, and stuff that are on some list of the insurance companies that are preferred. Then there's some that are on other lists. You know, they say that don't exist, but you know, I would say that there are those lists out there. You know, if you don't do your job right, you're going to be on there.
He is Butch Weston. He is of Weston General Contracting, and he's a sponsor of On the Air with Sonny Clark. Hey, Butch, thanks for joining us, and we're going to be doing this. We're going to bring in more things, and we're going to talk about some of the things. We only covered just, you know, the topsoil of your grass, okay? There's lots of other things that we're going to be talking about. Thanks for, obviously, your sponsorship of the show, and thanks for coming on and educating people, and that's a good thing that we're doing here is educating people to help them have a better life and a better home and get their homes put back together, especially after this natural disaster.
Thank you, Sonny, and God bless everyone, and have a good evening.
He is Butch Weston of Weston General Contracting. We're going to take a quick break here on the Air with Sonny Clark. And when we come back, we got something interesting for you. So just hang on tight. Hang through the commercials. I'm sure you'll love it. We'll be back here on Air with Sonny Clark. We'll be right back.
At Weston General Contracting Incorporated, we're your one-stop shop for all your general contracting needs. We are locally owned and with over 20 years of experience, so roofing, gutters, sidings, fence staining, painting, foundation problems, or roof damage are no problems at all. Give us a call at 214-200-5588. That's 214-200-5588. Weston General Contractors, proud sponsor of the Rowlett Eagles radio broadcast.
Are you having trouble understanding Social Security planning? There are a lot of questions that have to be answered, like when does it make most sense for you and your spouse to start receiving Social Security? What is the impact of your Social Security benefits if you work during retirement? How much of your Social Security will be taxed each year? Let Nest Egg Wealth Advisors provide you with that direction to these decisions. Call our offices today at 972-412-6064 or visit us on the web at nesteggadvice.com for your complimentary guide to Social Security. With over 25 years of experience, Stevenson's Heating and Air Conditioning have received many awards and recognition, including Angie's List and the Best of Rowlett. Ask about our preventative maintenance plan that includes two visits to your home for one unit for $155 and $59.99 for each additional unit. Mention you heard this ad on the Rowlett Eagles radio broadcast and receive an extra 10% off. Give them a call at 972-475-3227 to set up an appointment or check out their website at StevensonsHVAC.com. Let's face it, electricity is nothing to play around with. You want a professional taking care of it. Allen Bauer Electrical is your premier electrical contractor company. Whether it's industrial, commercial, or even high voltage services, we offer it at Allen Bauer Electrical. We specialize in all different types of electrical services while understanding all the mechanics of what is needed for any electrical service job. Reasonable, reliable, with true attention to detail to the customer is our specialty. Give Allen Bauer Electrical a call at 214-356-0197 to find out how we can be of service to you. Allen Bauer Electrical, proud sponsor of the Rowlett Eagles radio broadcast.
Rowlett Boys Basketball is being brought to you by ACG Medical Supply, located on the corner of Rowlett Road and the 66 in the Timberlake Shopping Center. Your location for knee, ankle, and elbow braces, as well as CPAP machine needs. Check them out on the web at acgmedical.net.
And welcome back into On the Air with Sonny Clark. And now I've got online the opponent to Martha Brown. We already heard from Martha Brown here earlier in the show. Now let's go ahead and bring on her opponent here as the candidate that is running against her. I have on Doug Phillips. How you doing, Doug?
I'm doing good. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Thanks for taking time and talking to us a little bit about the candidacy that you are running. You are actually running for the City Council, place number 6, against Martha Brown, a lady who's got a lot of experience as far as doing a lot of work in Rowlett. But you're no stranger to some work in Rowlett as well, as you've done a lot of work locally here, volunteering your time and doing other things, correct?
That is correct.
When we look at what we got going on, let's just find out why you're running for this position. What has gotten you interested in being on the city council to help the city do what it needs to do in order to move forward at this time?
Okay, well, I'm actually no stranger to the city council. I served two terms in 2008 and 2011. I left the council in 2014 as a result of term limits. During my time, there was a lot of changes in this. That's when the Dart Light Rail came to town, as well as the Bush Turnpike. We also made it a downturn in the economy due to the subprime mortgage crisis. So it was a challenging time and a time of a lot of change for the city of Rowlett. Since that time, the city has continued to grow and is a place that I've called home since 1990, and I'm very much interested in continuing to be able to help drive that growth and steer that growth to the best benefit for the citizens of Rowlett.
Now, looking at some of the things that have changed since you've been out of office compared to what is in, is there any changes that you think needed to take place while you've been out of office after you went through the two terms that you were already in? Is there anything that you have seen that you think need adjustments or need to be revisited? Or how has the city ran since you've not been in office? And is that the reason why you are jumping back in and putting your name back into the hat?
No, I don't think anything's happened that a specific reason why I would run that, you know, I would do differently than what's happened. It's a little more complicated than that, I think. The city, like a lot of things, is it's complex. There's a lot of moving parts, a lot of things that happen. And it's a continual care and feeding type of a thing. I'm very interested in working to continue that we maintain the good progress and the good momentum that we've built rather than changing anything that's already happened.
taking a look at some of the issues that are out there. I mean, we've got a lot of them, as you stated. We got dark that's going in here. We got the new lagoon that's going on over at the I-30 and so over the Dahl Rock. I just wanted to get your ideas of what has been going on as far as the growth of the city, and do you see it getting bigger, or are you going to be looking to kind of maybe halt the growth after, obviously, what we got going on over at the I-30 and Dahl Rock, or do you see even more changes coming for Rowlett, and do you encourage that?
I do encourage the change. Halting the growth, I don't think, is really an option. The city's going to grow. The city's going to evolve whether we do anything or not. I think it's more important to accept that growth is going to happen and try to be in front of it as much as possible and steer it towards things that are beneficial to the city long-term and will benefit the citizens long-term versus things that will just help a developer or a business company make a quick buck right now. So change is inevitable. Change is going to happen. And really, it's a matter of steering that change to a positive for the city. Now, that said, there's some exciting development coming.
Exactly. I apologize. I didn't mean to interrupt there. I thought you were done with your thoughts, so I was going to hop in. So what are some of those things that maybe as far as advancements for the city, what are some of the things that you think need to either A, still come to Rowlett, or B, is that just a work in progress? What do you think needs to happen for Rowlett in order to keep growing? Are there any specific things that you have in mind?
Well, it is a work in progress, and it will always be a work in progress. Even if the city is 100% built out, things will evolve, things will change, new businesses will come to town, old businesses will leave. One of the big things that we worked really hard for in my previous two terms on council, and I think we still need to continue to work on, is some diversity in housing. Rowlett's a great place to come live if you're in the market for a single-family home, and that traditional mindset that largely now caters to professional folks, families, and the like. Where I think we struggle a little bit is an option if you don't kind of fit into that mold. And some examples come to mind. I've got a daughter that's getting ready to start college, and in 4 years or so, she'll graduate with a degree. And she might decide she wants to move back to Rowlett. Our offerings in terms of housing opportunities for somebody at that point in their lives are pretty slim. There's not a whole lot of choices for relatively inexpensive but decent housing for folks just starting out on their professional careers. There's not a lot of options for folks that may graduate from school and go into a trade and wait to start a family. We don't have those choices. The other thing that comes to mind is folks that are later in life. My mom is lives alone now. My father passed a few years ago, and she lives here in Rowlett. She's got a very nice house, but it's, I think, maybe getting to be a little bit too much for her to take care of. The options for folks at that phase of their life aren't as good. There are not a lot of choices. So people become faced with the choice of either continue in a home that they isn't really right for them, that they can't afford, that they have trouble maintaining, or move to something that's more size appropriate, but leave their friends and their church and their doctors and their network of support that they've built as part of a community. So those choices become very necessary to weave the fabric of a community rather than just a place for professionals with families to live.
When you take a look at Rowlett, I mean, we're not an area that has a huge crime problem, but at the same time, this is a city that that with the growth is going to be a city that is going to be in need of police officers and emergency responders. Obviously, the tornado obviously comes to mind, but also with the new development and everything that's going on out near the I-30 and Dahl Rock, this is a situation where we've got to get people to be able to take care of the citizens of our city, and that obviously comes with police and rescue and fire and all that other stuff. Where are we in the city of Rowlett? Do we need more? Is there something else that we need to do? What is your idea to try to bring safety and all the things that are needed for a growing society, such as what's going on in Rowlett, need?
Well, that's a continuous evolution, actually. I think our police and fire are reasonably well-sized for the size of the city today. As the city grows, as the development happens down on the water, as more residential comes into town, more businesses, it'll be a continuous process of evaluating the needs at that time, the response times, the ability to react to the calls for service, and sizing appropriately. The plus side of taking that approach is, at least theoretically, the development that's coming can fund that growth. If we're going to try to make large increases in the size of the police and fire department now, paying for it would be a challenge because the tax base isn't there to support that. But as the development comes to town, as we start to see the projects hit the ground and the people that follow, the tax revenues that are associated with that will in part go to fund the necessary increases for police and fire, and not only police and fire. There's other capital improvements that will be needed as well to improve water infrastructure, wastewater infrastructure, all the rest of the city services that go along with making the community tick.
Taking a look at the city of Rowlett, and one of the things that has been coming on, and people have been just receiving their tax bills in the mail, and the value and how everything has been popped up, and, you know, not to blame anything, but the recent tornado really has actually, as far as the property values are concerned, we're seeing an increase in property values in that area. I don't know if that's good, bad, or indifferent. How do you look at that situation as far as, you know, just because we had a tornado and people don't want to live, they want to be here, our taxes, or the homes are actually very expensive, and the taxes for the property are beginning to go up. Do you see that as a situation that the city of Rowlett can address, or is that something outside of Rowlett that nothing can be done?
Well, the growth of property value, the increase in property values, isn't unique to Rowlett. I saw on the news today, as a matter of fact, that all of Dallas County property values are up. I think I heard an average of 12% over last year. So it's not unique to Rowlett. It's a more regional situation. Driven largely by increased demand. If you follow the real estate market, you'll know that right now it's very much a seller's market.
Definitely,
there's more people wanting to move into the area than there is supply to meet that need. That's why you see so much new building going on right now. Now that said, it is a bit of a concern for the folks that are trying to rebuild. In a lot of cases, insurance policies aren't replacement value, they're actual value. Building standards have changed, and there's maybe some increased costs associated with building to new standards. And there's a lot of things that need to be very carefully considered along with that, because I think it's very important that we make it as easy as possible within reason for those folks to rebuild. They're valued citizens of Rowlett, and we want them to continue to be a citizen of Rowlett. So I think that as those cases come forward, as folks are working to rebuild, we need to do what we can to help those folks get back on their feet in that area.
When I take a look at what's one of the biggest problems in our city is, it's got to be voting. I mean, we had a bond election where hardly 3,000 people showed up to actually vote. Going on May 7th, we're about ready to vote for your position as well as other positions. What is it going to take to get the people in Rowlett off their fannies and get them over to the booths? It's one of my biggest problems with our town. We have a Rowlett Facebook page with over 9,000 people in it. That's going to be a bigger turnout than our actual voting that's going to happen. So what are we going to do about getting people more involved, getting people out to vote? I don't know. Is it because the voting is happening on a Saturday for the bond election as well as this election? Or what do you see some of the problems that we can solve about getting people to the ballot?
That's a tough question, but I share your concern. My last election, there were right at 1,100 ballots cast out of about 38,000 registered voters in the city, which is that's a seriously low number. Now, how we fix that? There's a lot of possibilities there. I think it probably needs to be considered. The Saturday date, the statewide municipal election date, we don't have a whole lot of say in what that date looks like. Now, the city would have the option to move the election to November along with the statewide and national races if we so choose. However, there's some challenges with that as well. Because our council has three-year terms, it doesn't always with the big national options. So then we may be talking about increasing costs to hold an election on that date in the off years, or we could introduce confusion by going back to the May municipal date in the off years. Another possibility might be to amend the city charter to go to 2 or 4 year terms to have them line up. So there's possibilities there, but we need to be careful of unintended consequences as well. It's one thing, I completely agree with you. We want to get folks out to the polls, but more than just getting people to go tap the screen on the early voting machine or punch the card day of, I want them to be educated about what they're voting on. And the risk, I think, if you tack on to the national races in November is everybody's very much in tune with the presidential race and maybe their state senator and governor races and those type of things because they're in the news every day. And there's a lot of conversation about those. But when you get further down the ballot, people aren't aware. So they don't know who they're voting for. So the risk is they don't vote at all, or they pick a name that sounds good. That is certainly the right to do so. And I would never begrudge anybody that right. I mean, I think it's super important. But I would much prefer finding a solution to the problem that would involve informed voters.
Right. Mm-hmm. Definitely. It's one of the biggest problems in our city. It's one of the biggest problems in our city here in Rowlett. Now, we are talking to the candidates here on the air with Sunny Clark. I have on Doug Phillips. He is actually running for the 6th place in the Rowlett City Council against Martha Brown. I'm going to ask you the same question I asked her. If there's one thing that you can change or one thing that needs to have some attention on it, what is it and how do you think you can go ahead and either A, resolve it or at least get it to where it's being heard?
Well, I think one of the key issues that we need to pay attention to is the compensation for city staff. I know during my time on council, at one point our city employees went 5 years without a raise through some of the toughest economy that we've seen in my lifetime, and it wasn't an easy choice to make. But I know that. Again, unintended consequences. It's a great thing to keep salaries low for the taxpayers, right? It helps lower the tax burden and keeps those costs down for the taxpayer. But the flip side of that coin is that it makes it much harder to attract and retain quality staff. And
right.
If we want to make Rowlett be the kind of community that we all think it can be, it's going to be very important to attract and retain the people that make that happen, because at the end of the day, the city isn't producing any goods. We're not selling products. The bulk of our service revolve around the people that we hire to provide that service to our citizens. And I can't stress enough the importance of those people being quality employees. And we've got some of the best. The Rowlett employees that I've had the privilege of interacting with are fantastic. But I want to make sure that we're able to keep those people, and they have families, and the cost that they incur to maintain a household continue to rise like everybody else's do, and salaries need to keep pace with that in order for them to be able to provide for their families. And if they don't, they'll go someplace where they can better take care of their family. So yeah, making sure that we're fairly compensating our employees and continue to do so, so we can continue to provide the highest level of service that our citizens demand and deserve.
Definitely. And your position is yet another one, a position that's not paid. It's stipend. I mean, if you want to count that as being paid, I don't. It's definitely not. Is there anything in the works for the city council to actually move to this position to be a paid position? Because, you know, a lot of people don't have time. That would maybe seriously maybe run for a spot on the city council, but run and have other jobs. Like you have a full-time job, and some of the people that are running, that, you know, they're retired or whatever the case, that can actually run and have time for it. How are you going to find time to be able to be a city council person?
Well, I would not be in favor of making the city council a paid position. I understand the argument, and I respect the folks that hold that viewpoint, but when I made the decision the first time and then a re-election and now to run for city council, you know, my choice was in order to do something for this, you know, provide my services to the city to improve the quality of life and such for the citizens of Rowlett. I wasn't doing it for compensation. And my concern would be if we make it a paid position, one, it's going to become a lot more political because, you know, once you start getting paid, you know, now it's your livelihood and you want to make sure you can hang on to that. And two, I would worry that we might have folks that decide to do it for the wrong reasons. So I don't want the paycheck to be a part of it. I want it to be more of a volunteer-based approach that's centered solely on providing service to the citizens rather than providing benefit to myself.
Definitely. It's a tough job. There's a lot of stuff that needs to take care of that. Running for this position, it's one of the things. You got to be able to find the time and get it done, and a lot on everybody who's running, obviously, it looks like they can fill that time and fill that space very well. He is Doug Phillips. He is running for the Rowlett City Council, place number 6. Thank you for your time today, Doug, and good luck in the polls on Saturday.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your time as well, and I would just like to encourage everybody to get out and vote on Saturday, and I would appreciate your support.
Definitely, and he is Doug Phillips. Now, what we're going to do now, folks, we're going to take a quick break here on the Air of Sunny Card. We'll come back. We'll talk about some of the things that are going on locally. Our schools are doing super well in baseball, softball, and track. We'll talk a little bit about that on the other side of the break here on the Air of Sunny Card. We'll be right back.
If you're like me, you need your hot coffee in the morning. But as it's getting closer to summer and it's getting hotter outside, you'll want something more refreshing and cold. With a surefire menu of cold drinks, Scooters is sure to satisfy. Whether it's ice drinks, blenders, smoothies, or even cold teas, check out Scooters Coffee, located at Rowlett Road in the 66 with a convenient drive-thru, so you're sure to get in and out real quick and on to your business. That's Scooters Coffee, located in the Timberlake Shopping Center. At El Centro Mexican Restaurant in downtown Rowlett, we bring you delicious, authentic flavors from Mexico. With a friendly atmosphere, great service, and great food from the finest traditional Mexican recipes. We're a great place to gather with friends and family, so come and taste the difference at El Centro Mexican Restaurant in downtown Rowlett, or give them a call at 214-227-5096, or check them out on the web at elcentromexicanrestaurant.com. Harlow Tree Surgery offers more than just tree trimming and tree removal. They also offer landscaping services, planting, stump grinding, as well as fertilization and tree health. So if your tree was hit by lightning like mine, or you just need regular tree maintenance, call today and book your free estimate at 214-695-6500. That's 214-695-6500, and let them know you heard it here on the Rowlett Eagles radio broadcast.
take it for a ride? Check out Costlow Insurance, serving Texans since 1981. Bundle your home, auto, or business insurance to save a ton. Costlow Insurance on the corner of Main Street and Rowlett Road, where we make insurance fun. Or check us out on the web at costlowinsurance.com, where we always have the coffee pot on.
Yeah, but is it fresh?
All right, everybody, welcome back into On the Air with Sonny Clark. We're going to move into our sports part of the show. And, of course, talking about some of the things that are happening here in the local area. I am Sonny Clark, the hardest working man in sports radio, as we bring you radio coverage of the Rowlett Eagles varsity football and basketball team, as well as the Texas Revolution, located over in Allen, Texas. So let's give you just a little rundown, a little bit of what's going on in Champions Indoor Football. For those that think football season's over, you're not paying attention. Over there at the Rowlett, or mark that, over there at the Allen Event Center, the Texas Revolution are actually in action on Saturday. And this is a big game for the Texas Revolution, as if they do get the victory against the Dodge City Law, the situation will be really good for them. Why? Because they will clinch a playoff spot. That's right, a playoff spot. Now, it's not clinching the home field advantage or anything like that. It's the first part. At least they'll make the playoffs. If they get that victory, they clinch themselves the playoffs. They would be 8-1 at that time with only three games to go. That having been said, they're taking on the Dodge City Law. The Dodge City Law right now are 5-2. They would drop to 5-3. That's the reason why they would at least clinch the playoff spot. That having been said, at 5-2 are the Dodge City Law. That's the team the Texas Revolution are taking on this weekend over at the Allen Event Center. So make sure you get your eyes and ears open for that. If you like football, if you like hard-hitting football, if you like action, if you like a lot of speed, if you like lots of scoring, indoor football is where it's at for you, because that's where the excitement is happening over in the CIF. So make sure that you check it out, and that is the Texas Revolution. So that also having been said, we have another team that is locally, they're not having the best year. They are 1-7 on the football season in Champions Indoor Football, and their record reflects a tough season. That having been said, the Mesquite Marshals, they are actually at home on Saturday as well. They'll be taking on the Duke City Gladiators, a team that the Texas Revolution beat twice, two times in a row, this past Saturday and then the Friday before. So Duke City making the long ride again from Albuquerque to take on the Mesquite Marshals. So the Mesquite Marshals are a team that has had their challenges this year, but unfortunately having it rough. However, the Texas Revolution, let's talk about the Southern Division in Champions Indoor Football, where your teams are playing. The Texas Revolution are on top in that division. They are 7-1. They take on the Duke City Gladiators, who are 6-2, who are in second place. The top three teams in this division make the playoffs. So the Amarillo Venom, they are 4-3, and the Duke City Gladiators, they are 4-4 on the season. So those are the two teams battling out for the last playoff spot, as the San Angelo Bandits, who are 2-6, are ahead of the Mesquite Marshals. That having been said, the Duke City Gladiators are a good football team. So if you get the opportunity on Saturday, whichever one you want to go to, you want to go see the winning team over there at the Allen Event Center, you can. But if the Mesquite Marshals are close, you're going to see a good team in the Duke City Gladiators are still fighting for that playoff spot. So keep your eyes and ears open for that, because it's a lot of fun over there for indoor football, whether it be in Mesquite. Now, the Mesquite Arena is just a little bit older than the Allen Event Center. The Allen Event Center is a state-of-the-art field and arena, so everything's up to date. The Mesquite Arena is a little bit older, but yet it is still indoor football. It is still Fast and Furious, so whatever one you go to, you'll have one. If you want to hear the game, you don't want to go to the game, you can listen to the Texas Revolution on my program as we cover the Texas Revolution on the Couch Potato Sports Show. So make sure you get on over there and you can listen to the Couch Potato Sports Show with our coverage of the Texas Revolution starting at 7 p.m. located at www.thecouchpotato.wix.com/Revs Radio. You can also get there at www.thecouchpotato.wix.com/sports show, and then you can click on Texas Revolution. It'll take you right to the game. So that having been said, that's what we are doing, our coverage of the Texas Revolution and Champions Indoor Football. Also, some things that are going on as far as your Rowlett Eagles are concerned. The Rowlett Eagles are really having, they are moving now. A lot of sports that are going on that is all about the track and field. It's also about baseball. It's all about the softball team as well. So that having been said, let's talk a little bit about the track and field, because that's where the important thing is. Rowlett's Joseph Sheffield finished second in both the 100 and 200 and helped the 4x100 relay runners finish as they earned three qualifying spots in the Class 6A track and field meet on May 13th in Austin. So that having been said, it is huge as the Rowlett Eagles are doing very well in track and field, so keep your eyes and ears open for them. They don't get a lot of play, but the track and field is also kind of cool. Now, also, the Rowlett Eagles, Lady Eagles, I guess you can call them, they explode for five runs in the fifth inning to close out a series against Ellison. The Rowlett Eagles had a great game as Alex Calden had two doubles, a home run, and four RBIs as the Eagles completed the sweep in their best of three series against Kyleen Ellison on Saturday with a 13-3 win. So that having been said, the Rowlett was scoreless in the second and fourth innings before scoring eight runs in the bottom of the fifth to end the game. So that's where it looked like. So Rowlett cruised to a 10-0 rule victory in the opener of the Class 6A by district best of three series against Kyleen Ellison. So Ellison did not have very much as they got swept in that game. So Victoria Rodriguez singled and Pearson Jones walked, and then Alex Calden, who had the huge game, followed with an RBI double for the game's first runs, and Kendall Doctor doubled home another to make it a 2-0. So it was just really a quick thing that happened. The Rowlett Eagles sweeping Ellison to move on into the next portion of the playoffs. So keep your eyes and ears open for the girls. Now, the Rowlett Eagles boys, that is another thing, as Rockwall and Tyler Lee are going to determine the final spot on Monday. So hopefully everything works well for them and they end up getting where they need to go. So the 6A standings were the Neiman Forest. They were 12-2, 25-3 in all. Overall, the Rowlett Eagles, who qualified, they were 10-4 on the season, 18-8 overall. Lakeview Centennial was also 10-4 in district, but 20-9 overall. The Tyler Lee Red Raiders were 8-6 in district, 15-10 overall. Rockwall was 8-6; they were 14-10 overall. And the Saxony Mustangs, normally a good baseball team, had a tough one this year. They were 6-8 this season, 15-11 overall. Overall, the Garland Owls were 2-12. They were 3-17 overall, and North Garland was 0-14 on the season, 4-19 overall. So that having been said, that's where it ends up happening, as the Rowlett Eagles took care of Saxony 5-0, and they were eliminated out of the playoffs. Were the Mustangs. So the Rowlett Eagles are having a good season. happen. So make sure that you get the opportunity to get out there to support those young men and ladies. Please do, as the Texas Revolution and the Rowlett Eagles are right there over on the sister station on the Couch Potato Sports Show. So make sure you get on over there if you don't have the opportunity. We will be bringing you the Rowlett Eagles varsity football and basketball team again this season in the 2016-2017 season. You have the opportunity there for sponsorships for that. You can get in there. I can send you an information package. We'll let you know how you can be a part of that. Give me a call at 888-914-4420. My name is Sonny Clark, and we will get you on the program there with the sponsorship, gets you some commercial set up. Also, if you want to be a commercial sponsorship of On the Air with Sonny Clark, you can do so. Give me a call at that same number, 888-914-4420. We'll set you up a package for On the Air with Sonny Clark, or maybe combo it also with the Rowlett Eagles varsity basketball and football team. So that's going to do it for us here on the Air with Sonny Clark. Hope everybody enjoyed the candidates as we get set. Don't forget to go out and vote on May 7th, that's a Saturday. Take the time. Get it done. Don't waste the time and go, well, I'll do it later. I'll do it later. As soon as you're able to do it, get it done and get out and vote. I want to see over 9,000 people voting in that. That would make me happy. So that's going to do it for me, Sonny Clark, the hardest working man in sports radio, as well as the host of On the Air with Sonny Clark. We'll catch you next time. Bye-bye.